o'clock a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ.
Hey, tell somebody, say you stand.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Let me hear the worshipers.
You're listening to the radio broadcast of the Mount Triumph Missionary Baptist Church, 720 Millrace Road, Boyce, Louisiana, Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m., worship and the word at 11 a.m., and on third Sunday, the Lord's Supper is observed. Wednesday night, prayer meeting Bible study at 6 p.m., and at 7 p.m., choir rehearsal. You can visit us on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God.
It's total healing in your life. And continue to use the gifts that God gives to you for His glory. Amen. And for the good of God's people. Somebody know He's amazing. We made it to the zenith of the worship. I pray that you've been worshiping all the time. The prayers uttered from this morning, Brother Mitchell, the songs rendered by our Brotherhood Choir, the solo of Brother Charles Jones, and now for the Word of God. The Word is like a two-edged sword. It cuts all the way to the bone, the marrow. Intent and the motives of our heart. He knows if our hearts are right and if our hearts are wrong. I wish I had a witness. It's all in the Word. And it's the Word that saves. I wish I had a witness. As a matter of fact, Jesus even told the disciples, it's the Word that sanctifies. Amen. Thank you to our minister of music and to our music director, to our percussionists, and everybody that goes to make up this worship experience. I'm just trying to work my way. I'm peddling right now. I'm just peddling right now. Amen. I'm so excited, and I'm excited about you being excited. I've heard so much feedback from this series on prayer just this day, just listening in the Sunday school class. Brother Smith and Brother Mike and others in the Sunday school class this morning talking about our Father. And that's where we are right now. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And I want to read these four verses, but we just want to focus on our Father. And it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I want to talk about, as our series, Praying Like Jesus Prayed, part two. And I want to look at the disciples' prayer. And on last Sunday, we talked about the pattern for prayer. But this morning, I want to talk about the perennity of prayer. The perennity of prayer. And I just want to talk about our Father. Amen. We have been looking at this model prayer, and prayer is so often many of us stumble with. Sometimes we don't know what to say, when to say, how to say it. And so often prayer for individuals' lives is not always that time that we take the time or find the place or posture to spend with the Lord alone. We have a problem sometimes uttering up the words to say, and how long we should say it, and how long we should be in a place to communicate with our God. And yet we know throughout the Bible, prayer has been not just something in a moment's time, not just something we do when the tire is on flat, but prayer for the believer is a way of life. Prayer is a way of life, and ought to be a lifestyle that, like Paul says, we ought to pray without ceasing. And when he said that, he was talking about, don't let it be too long a time before your next prayer. And matter of fact, when prayer is a way of life, we are always thanking God, or we are always talking to God about something going on in our life, because God is a part of our lives. Matter of fact, God ought to be the center of our lives. And everything else flows from that personal relationship. That's what we talked about in the Sunday school class. Somehow we talked about that personal relationship and that personal walk with God. And so we talked about the pattern for prayer on last week, and we talked about the place of prayer, and then we talked about the prohibition of prayer, that God doesn't want us mumble-jumbling our words, or just even in repetitiveness or vain babbling. But when we come to him, we need to let him know what's on our hearts and our minds. This prayer often is called the Lord's Prayer, more than that, the disciples' prayer. It is a prayer that many of us came up on, and we know it like the back of our hands. In Matthew's gospel, we know it in the 6th chapter, and then in Luke's gospel, it is rendered a little different, but it was Jesus giving this prayer to his disciples. Matter of fact, it is a prayer that the disciples requested. Have I got a witness? They came to Jesus, and the text opens with that it was after he finished his prayer. After he finished praying, the disciples no doubt heard Jesus pray. pray, and he prayed quite different than those who were in the community and those religious leaders of that day. He prayed with a sense of intimacy with God. And I need to tell somebody right here, that's what prayer is. It's an intimate conversation. It's an intimate communication with God. And then he says to those disciples, they requested to know how, they didn't ask him, teach us how to preach. They didn't ask him to teach us how to become rich. Help me somebody. But what they asked him was to teach us to pray. Oh, that's an awesome request. That they made to the master. They had heard all kinds of praying around them, but nobody prayed like Jesus prayed. And so he says, when you pray, you need to pray our Father. Or you need to say, Father. I wish I had a believer here. We ought to address him as Father, realizing, Brother Mike, that we are his children. Oh, isn't it good to know that we're a Sunday out of Father's Day, so you're getting an early Father's Day message on the second Sunday where these brothers have sung so eloquently. But here he says, when you pray, say, Father, or our Father. And matter of fact, you can even take it just that much personal, you can say, my Father. Because I do need to let you know that he, in creation, he is the creatures and the creation, the Father of creation, but only to those who are saved does he become our spirit. I wish I had a believer, our spiritual Father. You need to understand that as a child of God, there are privileges and benefits that we have. Matter of fact, I was looking at a diploma I received in 92 and in 94 from the United Theological Seminary and Bible College. And on that diploma, down at the bottom, it read, it said it gave the degree, and then it says, Brother Charles, that we have all rights and privileges, honors thereunto obtaining. That degree has conferred upon many the privilege and the benefits that you have to be able to go forth and pursue the careers or whatever you can obtain. But I need you to dig a little deeper this morning. That God has given us privileges, and God has given us benefits, and God has given us blessings because we are his children. And then he helps us to accomplish the things that he has called us to because we are the children of God. One, we are his children by virtue of our salvation. We have the privilege to address God as our Father because of the salvation that Jesus has wrought in our lives. These benefits come to us this morning because we have been born again. It's one thing that we've been born into the world, and all of us coming into the world are sinners, but when you've been born again, help me somebody, you open the door to the privileges and the benefits and the blessings that God has for his children. But you just don't get them by osmosis. You just don't get them by your inheritance. You just don't get them because your grandfather had it. You don't get it because grandmother knew it, but you get it because you've been born again. Well, come here, nigga. Nicodemus and talk to us just for a few moments. And in John 3:3, he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. That the reason why we are God's children is because there's been a regeneration, a regening in our lives. That we are no longer the old persons that we used to be, but we are new creatures. Oh, come here and talk to me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We are his children by virtue of salvation. Has anybody here been born again? The new birth then puts us into the family of God. Jesus himself would utter these words in the Aramaic. He would utter even in Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, he would utter, Abba, Father. Oh, that word Abba is an intimate word. It means one of endearment. It means one who is dear and one who is near. And isn't it good to know that when you are in trouble, when you are going through something in your life, you too can cry like Jesus cried, Abba, Abba, Father. You know that word, Abba, again, it's in the Aramaic, it's like saying, Da, Da. And I can remember almost 33 and a half years ago, as Kim was born, our oldest, and sometimes after she began to grow and develop, I remember her uttering her first words. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. Every mama talking about, but every papa, every dada ought to understand when that little one utters that word, dada. Oh, I wish I had a believer. Or when they utter the word mama, if something goes off in you on the inside, that they have recognized that you are their dada, or you are their mom. I wish I had a witness. Closeness and an intimacy that's going on. And so here, this word father is patriarch in the Greek, but in the Aramaic, it is dada, it is papa, it is a sense of closeness. And so when you are praying, you need to understand your salvation has brought you close to the Father. You can call him Dada. You can call him Papa. Well, not only by virtue of our salvation, but then I need you to see something here, also by virtue of our sonship. You got your Bibles with you, Romans chapter 8, roll your fingers over to Romans chapter 8, and it begins to tell us about our sonship in verse 14, because we are his children, and because we are his, and because we've been regenerated, because we've been born again, the Holy Spirit has taken up residence on the inside. And matter of fact, in verse 14 it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. And as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, brothers and sisters, isn't it good to know that you and I are his children? And this process of adoption, not like the adoptions that we know about today, but this adoption took place when you became a child of God. This adoption took place when you were saved, that God brought you in the family. And because God brought you in the family, can't nobody put, can't nobody put you out of the family. Because you're in the family by faith, and the Holy Spirit has brought you into this endearment. Stephen Cole said, implies that there is an intimate and personal relationship when we call God Father. And then he says that he is our sovereign creator of the universe, and it should encourage us to draw near to God and expect to find mercy and compassion. And then he says that it's good to know that God is our Father, because everybody don't have a father. Some fathers are gone, some fathers are missing. I wish I had a witness. Some fathers are MIA, are missing in action. Some fathers are AWOL, absent without leave. But I'm glad for the Heavenly Father, who says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Somebody needs to know that right now, that our Heavenly Father will always be with you. You know, some of us will leave you, will be with you in the thick and the thin, but when things get a little thick, isn't it good to know that we can call our Father? Isn't it good to know we can say Abba, and that you and I are his sons and we are his daughters? And then verse 16, I'm still there in Romans, the Spirit himself testified that our spirit, that we are children of God. And if children, as also heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Isn't it good to know that I'm not all that I am to be? You need to tell somebody, God is still working on me. He's still molding me, and he's still making me through the process of sanctification. He's still working on me. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me. You know, many times, if you have not talked to your personnel, your HR director, that at your workplace there are some benefits and some privileges. I wish I had a witness. That you may know or you may not be aware of, but there are some benefits, and sometimes they give you a benefit package. I wish I had a witness. Sometimes they give you a manual, and more often than any, we usually put that manual somewhere and just leave it there. But you know that in God's word, God has left us a manual. Oh, I wish I had a witness. That if you are not aware of the privileges and the blessings and the benefits as a believer that you have, It's good to pick up your manual every day. See what God has for his truth. Not only do we have under our sonship, but we also have, access. Help me, somebody. Hebrews 4 and 16 tells us that we can come boldly now to the throne of grace. Is anybody went there lately to find help in the time of your need? Does anybody have a need this morning? And if you have salvation and your life has been changed, and if you have sonship and daughtership and you're in the family, what hinder you from going to the throne of Now, a lot of people now talk about this next Sunday. You know, we like to acknowledge God and say that he is the man upstairs. But Jesus said that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We need to reverence God and respect God, but it first starts with the intimate and personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And then if he's your father, then that means that he protects you. And then it means also you have his provision. A father's responsibility to his children is to take care. Oh, brothers and sisters, I know a lot of folk have taken the paternity test. Help me, somebody. And on those, we want to prove that you are not the father. But I'm so glad that my father in heaven is not taking the paternity test. He knows who I am. I wish I had a believer here. He knows why I am. He knows what I am. He knows where I am. He knows that it's not my blood, but it is the blood of his son that covers my soul. It has been through the blood of his son, Jesus, that caused me to be brought in into the family. And so you need to know you have the privilege of calling him our father, or my dearest father. You can call him that because you are adopted into the family. You are brought into his family. You are placed. That's what the word means, to be placed in. We've seen again on those occasions where people, children are adopted and they have all the rights and the privilege of sonship and daughtership. But not only do we have it by virtue of our salvation, but we also have it by virtue of our sonship. But thirdly, and I'm going to leave you alone, we are our father, and we can call him our father, and we need to pray like that in our prayers by virtue of our separation. Oh, that's 3 points right there. We have salvation, we have sonship, and then there is separation.
You have been listening to the Radio Outreach Ministry of the Mount Triumph Missionary Baptist Church, Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Come and see us at 720 Millrace Road, Boyce, Louisiana, 71409. Visit us again on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.